Welcome to the Beginning Meditation Podcast Series. For further information, please visit ihvh.co.uk. That's ihvh.co.uk.
Listening to part 11 of the Beginning Meditation podcast series. In this episode, you'll hear the first part of a two-part interview with hermetic practitioner, artist and writer Ron Clark, in which we'll be discussing the theme of mindfulness and meditation as they relate to creative and artistic expression. The second part of the interview will obviously be released in part 12 of Beginning Meditation, which will be published shortly. Just a quick note, if you have been listening to this podcast series through iTunes and have had any problems with some of the episodes, I'm particularly thinking about episodes 5 and 6, you can listen to complete episodes without any problems from the podcast link on my homepage, which is www.ihvh.co.uk. To go directly to the podcast page, just add /podcast.htm, or you can just click on the podcast link on the homepage itself. Thank you again to those people who have taken the time to contact me regarding this podcast or other features on my site. And if you'd like to contact me, you can click on the contact me link. And you have a choice of just sending a text message, you can record a voice message, or you could leave a message in my guest book. If you'd like to receive the first of my new lucky email updates for the site, which will take the form of a newsletter, you can also subscribe to those from the homepage, that's ihvh.co.uk. If you've already subscribed to receive email updates, you don't have to subscribe again with this new system or the information has been transferred over. The first of the newsletters will be sent out within the next week or so, and will feature a little bit of information about Ron Clark and also the art of James Cosgrove, who happens to be my dad, and his art is featured on an online gallery on my website, and that can be viewed by going to the contributions link on my site. Thank you for listening, and I hope you enjoy this interview with Ron Clark as much as I enjoyed recording it. I'm here talking to Ron Clark, and we're going to be discussing the topic of mindfulness and meditation, and how they relate to creativity and artistic expression. Ron, we've interviewed you before for this podcast, and because we're focusing now on creativity and artistic expression, I just thought it might be nice to tell people a little bit about your art and your writing, and the fact that you are an artist and a writer, and how they link in. So I believe that you would class yourself as having been an artist before classing yourself as a hermetic practitioner or a writer even. Is that correct?
Yeah, my whole life, from very early childhood on, has been involved in visual arts, really. Mm-hmm. And I really didn't start writing until 1994.
Right.
And I remember the first thing I wrote, it looked really good. You know, I used, like, every font I had available, and it looked really good.
So that was that visual aspect.
yeah, it was an interesting transition from being a visual artist to being a wordsmith, or a creative with words and ideas.
Mm-hmm.
With words to express ideas instead of clay or oil paint.
Yes, yeah. How would you? I know it's maybe a cliched question. How did you get into art in the first place?
I don't know. I think I was just born this way.
Yeah.
I was born with 10 very nimble fingers, and so anything I can get my hands on, I just, you know, the mediums are sort of secondary in a sense. It's the creative urge has been with me since my earliest memory.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just go through different mediums and learn different techniques.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, lately creating new techniques.
Yeah, yeah. Well, if we kind of delve a little bit then into the topic of mindfulness and how it relates to these different creative outlets, if you like. So, in my mind, there does seem to be an intimate link between different types of artistic expression, poetry, art, music, etc., and spirituality. I'm just wondering what your thoughts on that topic are.
In modern times, I think that link is a lot less mm-hmm. than it was in times. Now I think most artists are really commercial artists. And I'd really distinguish between commercial art, which is just art because I need to make a living and I'm going to create whatever is going to sell,
mm-hmm.
versus a personal artistic expression that arises just from an internal need.
Yeah.
And I think that aspect of modern creative art is connected to spirituality, with quotes around it, because, you know, that's one of those kind of words.
Yeah.
I mean it in this context as an expression, an externalization of something internal, an expression of self. And in ancient cultures, There really wasn't this distinction between the artist and the regular folk. Everything that was done was a creative expression, a participation in the beauty of the world in which people lived. So every simple thing was beautiful, and, you know, an expression of either how they felt about how they fit into the world, or an expression of the world itself, aside from how they felt about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think in that sense, it was indeed spiritual, because it was about one's connection with the universe and with life.
So,
and I think that's just so ancient in human beings mm-hmm. that it carries over, and, you know, has taken all these different forms over the millennia.
Mm-hmm. So it's really, in its purest form, a natural, spontaneous process, and just somebody feels impelled to express themselves through whichever medium they choose.
And as a form of participation and worship, if you will, of the just immense, astounding beauty of the world in which we live, you know, especially in which the ancients lived.
Mm-hmm.
Now we live in cities, and it's all cement and steel and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But
well, some of us do.
Well, yeah, some of us have the good fortune not to. And, you know, I think because I do live out in the country, out in the wilds, really, that you know, I have a much more a greater appreciation for that sense of just how beautiful the world, Mother Nature, really is. Every tiny little thing. And when you live immersed in that, you can't help but want to express that in some way and mirror that in the things that you create and that you do. You know, just even the simplest things.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's interesting that you...
Pardon?
Sorry, go ahead.
Well, the peoples that used to live right where I live right now, just a couple hundred years ago, they still lived here. Everything that they made was, to my eye at least, incredibly beautiful and completely reflective of their environment. The simplest things. And everybody expressed that in the things that they made. Not particularly, you know, if they were artisans. They weren't artisans. They were just human beings.
Mm-hmm. Mm. And like you were saying before, a lot of people are detached now from that that primary contact with nature, and so maybe artistic expression and everything is becoming a little bit more airy and in our heads and related to kind of...
I don't know if it's necessarily so much airy in our heads. Mm-hmm. It's still responsive to the environment.
Right.
And when I would define really two types of creative expression, a subjective and an objective.
Mm-hmm.
A subjective expression is, how do I feel about this or that? And so I try to express through my work of art how I feel. And, you know, so that someone else can share in how I feel.
Yeah.
An objective creativity is really setting aside how I feel about it and just opening myself to be the mechanism through which this objective reality expresses itself. And I think most modern art that comes from cities, at least, is a very subjective expression. This is how I feel about everything that's surrounding me, or how I feel about the emotions I'm experiencing,
mm-hmm.
things that I'm witnessing. I think there is really very little truly objective expression these days.
Okay, well, that links in nicely then with, do you think that the practice of meditation and interlinked with that mindfulness can help to enhance somebody to key into that more objective expression of creativity?
Yes, definitely. And also I think it enhances the subjective expression as well.
Mm-hmm.
Because at least on the subjective level, a mindfulness, a meditative practice, from that, you learn about yourself. You delve into the emotions that you're feeling. You really deeply examine them, and you experience them much more sharply, more clearly. More deep, you know, deeper experience of the emotions that you are feeling. And because of that, you can then turn around and express them.
Yes.
In more subtle ways than if you don't really know what this, you know, all the dimensions of this thing that I'm feeling. If I really don't know that clearly, then I might just express the surface of it.
Mm-hmm.
But if I understand it more deeply, I'll express all the different layers of it,
mm-hmm.
And end up with something that will be truly more expressive and more communicative to others.
Yes,
reach them on more levels that they can, understand and grasp. And in terms of objective creativity, then most definitely, the more we understand ourselves, the more we can set ourselves aside. And then truly open ourselves to, like you were talking about Keats, and how he was talking about a oneness with the object or animal that he was going to be writing poetry about.
Mm-hmm.
And that requires a setting aside of the personal emotions and biases to truly blend with the experience of that other thing, that objective thing. And then while still setting that aside, let that thing express itself through you as the tool. Mm. You know, sort of using your artistic abilities, your technical abilities to express itself.
Mm-hmm. So you become like a vehicle for that, the essence of the animal or whatever it happens to be that you're contemplating.
Exactly. I know you're familiar with some of the magical tools that I've made, and
yes.
That is an objective expression. In that context, I'm working with the objective need and using, letting that flow through my technical abilities
to create
the tool.
I may be asking the impossible here because of the nature of the subject matter, but would it be possible for you to describe a little more what that process is like? Allowing the objective need to flow through you, if you like.
Mm. I can tell you my process.
Yeah, that would be nice.
Give me a second. Okay. I begin with a unifying of the various levels of my awareness. I am first aware of my physical body and being present in this immediate moment. And then I'm aware of my astral character, being present in this immediate moment. And then of my mental body, my individual self, being present.
Mm-hmm.
And then connecting that with my greater self and the one self. So I am fully present, all the various layers of my awareness in the immediate moment. From that perspective, I then open myself to it's a purpose, an idea that I need to express in terms of the magical tools, a functionality. And I open myself, my awareness to, my whole awareness to that functionality, that purpose, and really become that, just that purpose. My awareness is focused within that purpose, and I explore that purpose. And then I let that purpose flow through my levels of awareness down to the more mundane aspect. And it's in that transition that the ideas become very clear. The techniques that I need to apply become very clear. The shape, the size, the color, the ingredients that will be required to construct this thing that will have this function.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just begin. And I am always mindful, always in that state while I am creating this object. So it's a continuation of that state of awareness throughout the process of creating this object. And some of the tools have taken, months and months to create, so it's going in and out of that
mm-hmm,
state.
Mm-hmm.
But always being in that state when I'm working with the tool. And, it sort of reveals itself as I progress.
Right.
And then there's the end result. The end result is clearly something made by Ron. But it's very different than the other things made by Ron. the more subjective pieces are my image of beauty in that moment. But the magical tools, although for the most part they're really very beautiful, that's just the natural expression of the idea or the functionality that I'm working with, and not really coming from my aesthetic.
Yeah, and I'm really interested in, it's just occurred to me, the difference then between the process that you've just described, in which almost the complete idea filters down to the mundane level, like you said, in which you can actually work with it on a physical level. And that compared to what we might call the normal artistic process, where maybe, you know, an artist is sitting there and it might have to involve what appears to be more strain and active thinking, and shall I do it this way or that way, and is there a contrast there?
Yeah, in what I'm describing, there isn't. There will be sometimes that well, should I do it this way or that way, mm-hmm. but it really comes down to technical choices.
I see.
Not about the greater vision at all. Mm-hmm. It's just, is this going to be sturdier than this?
Yeah.
Or is this going to, yeah.
Thank you for listening to The Beginning Meditation. Any suggestions or questions are welcomed. Go to ihvh.co.uk for more details. That's ihvh.co.uk.